Good evening.
How has your week been?
Fantastic, to be honest. It's been a busy ass week, but all good things. I am an employed woman now, which is great. Go me. So that's fantastic. We're getting the new car on Friday.
Nice.
The old one is gone. It's quite sad to see her go last night, but had to be done. She was a fucking money trap.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, so other than that, I'm trying to get my house clean before I go back to work, because we all know from, what, 3 years of me complaining on this podcast that Dave can't fucking clean.
Because he can't.
He really can't. I'm trying to get my house clean to a standard of, like, even he can't fuck it up while I'm working. And I'll be able to, like, keep it clean on the days when I'm not finishing at 8 o'clock and on my 2 days off. So that's the vast majority of what I've been up to. Oh, other than that, I have been getting drunk at Fashing, which has also been great crack. You saw the bonnet.
I don't know what it was, but that picture of you in the bonnet made me actually feel a bit queasy. Like, it actually made me feel a bit physically sick. And I'm not even saying that to be a dramatic. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that creature thing looked cool as fuck, whatever that was. The man goat / demon shit. Cool.
Yeah, they were 10 the demons.
That was not terrifying. You looked terrifying.
Yeah, I fully looked Amish. I looked so Amish. That's I looked like I was about to go and churn the fucking creamiest butter you'll ever see in your whole life. Like, out of all of the group, we were all there in the old granny pajamas, but I was the only one that looked Amish. It just...
Somehow you looked Amish while wearing a blue wig. Yeah. And I don't know, like, I know the Amish don't get down like that, but you still did look.
Yeah, no, I wore it again. Right in. And I should have sent you a picture, because I wore it over my long, you know, my really nice sage green dress. Because I wanted to dress up that day, but I was going to fashing later on after. It was actually when I signed my contract.
Nice.
Yeah, I had my normal hair, but it was curled, so it looked much worse.
So was the bonnet included? Yes or
no? Oh, God, yes.
Well, then I'm glad you didn't send me a picture.
Yeah, you would have been terrified.
I'm actually,
like,
very happy about it.
It brought the Amish level up to 1,000.
It just looked scary. I don't know why. It was just very unsettling or something. I don't know why. I don't know why I actually have an issue with the bonnet. I really don't know what it is.
It was your medieval urge to burn me at the stake.
No, girl, if anybody was burnt at the stake, you know I was fully a part of that shite. But it's just, it creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah, it was not a look. But yeah, everyone dresses up for it. So we're going as lemurs, a pack of lemurs next year. And David's mother is going to be King Julian. So it's going to be a fucking
great
time. That
would be sensational.
Yeah, I will most definitely send you pictures then as well.
Yeah, I won't be terrified of that.
That's it, yeah. Then for a brief explanation, Fasching is basically like a pagan festival that's still celebrated in Germany, wherein there's a huge parade that goes on for, like, there's bunches of parades in all different towns. It goes on for over a month. And a bunch of people dress up as, like, witches and devils and mad shit. You can get kidnapped, your shoelaces get stolen, you get wrapped up in fucking clingfilm. Some people were put through, like, you know, the shit that wraps up Christmas trees.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you can get put through that. You're like, they shove confetti down your top and up your hair and all of that stuff. You get pelted in the face with sweets all day. If you're really nice to them, they'll give you alcohol. They'll give you schnapps.
Sorry. The Christmas tree I am totally down for, because I'd be like a little pack of rolled fucking ham, like a roast ham joint. I would love that. It would be fantastic. If someone started pelting me in the head with hard fucking chewing sweets.
Yeah.
My God. But I ram my foot so far up their fucking hole it'd come out of their mouth. I swear to God. Like, that would bruise.
They're nice. They throw them near the children. Like, the children don't get beaten up with them. But I fully took a pack of Haribo to the forehead. Like,
oh my God. Haribo, they're all right. They'd be a bit...
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
A bit jarring when you're getting slapped in the head. Yeah. But it's not like a fucking... Werther's Original, like, where it's like skipping a stone and it would actually take a chunk out of your granium if it skimmed by.
And there is a lot of those hard sweets. But yeah, it's good crack and it's weird and it's wonderful, and I fully recommend if anyone ever plans on visiting Germany for any reason, come in fucking February, because that's when the crack is. Or the end of January. The end of January, start of February. That's when the crack is in Germany.
That's when it starts.
But yeah, so that was my week. How was yours?
It's been a week.
Oh.
Like, it's been like... It's as in, like, not overly bad, but I'm going to actually tell you something really fucking scandalous. I don't know if you saw it on my private story, but just for, like, if you, right, by your face, and I know you haven't, because then you'd be like, oh my God, I remember that.
No, because you know me for fucking being old and shite with social media. So.
Girl, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell everybody that's listening as well. So, right.
Right.
I had this child in my class last year, right? And honestly, even then, not that we didn't get on, we would be fighting, like. Or like, I would, like, we used to be having arguments. You'd be like, I don't like you and I don't come to school. And I'm like, do you know what? I said, I actually don't care. Bye. Like, we had that very much of a relationship, right? But she absolutely, for whatever reason, adores me now. Like, I can't go anywhere if she sees me because she'll just cling to me like a fucking spider monkey, which, look, I don't mind at all. And her family are, like, super nice, everything. And she's the one that does rob her granny's jewellery and give it to me.
Ah.
Do you know that one? Yes. Yeah. Right? So, like that, the family are always really lovely to me. And on, was it Monday or Tuesday? I was minding my own business, as I do, right? I was lying down, so on like a beanbag, right? So doing your lying down and like I was typing on the laptop. So I had like this like little neck crane thing going on, right? And I don't know if you can see, I'm not trying to flash you my tits, but right. You can see a tan line, right? I got fucking scalded at the beach, right?
Right.
And it went up on my neck. So I was like, kind of, I was pink, right? Okay, I looked like Zoidberg from Futurama. Like, I was like that, right?
Fleshy.
And, yes, exactly. And so the little one had come in to me. And she was there later than, like, any of the other kids. Just because, like, she had, like, she stays late in the day, right? And her parents come and collect her later. And she ran by my class, saw that I was in there. I was like, Miss Lizzie, the usual shy, comes into me. And the granny follows her in. So, and she leaves, right? She like, drops to her knees in front of me. So already this is kind of disrespectful, but anyway. And she looks at me and she said, what happened here? Like, kind of motioning to, like, my neck, right?
Right.
And I thought she'd talk about the cheek sunburn because obviously you could fucking see the colour difference. My face was white and my neck was pink. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was sort of like, oh yeah, do you know, I was on the beach, didn't put enough sun cream and blah, blah, blah. I didn't even get a chance because you know what she turned around and said to me was, what happened? You got fat. She told me.
I got fat. Excuse me?
I was like, what? And she was like, you got fat. She goes like, you need to stop eating. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? The young one looks to me and she's like, no, eat. And the granny was like, you know, like play slapping her. She was like, no, she needs to stop. She needs to stop. I was just sitting there and I was like, why? Svana, when I tell you, this woman was foot level. Like, she was, I could have kicked her in the face. Obviously, I would have lost my job. I'd definitely been arrested for an attacking an OAP. But she said, you got fat. And I don't mind, right? I might have not got fat, right? I know I've been eating like shit a small bit, right? I don't know. Got to mind your fucking business. Don't say shit.
Honestly.
Leave your own. Mind your own.
That who just mind. Walks up to a person declaring that, like, and also
that they've gotten fat.
But to be like, what happened here?
As if it was a tragedy. Do you know what I mean?
Literally.
And I'm honestly not being funny. Yeah, I might have got, like, I mean, I've put on probably like, I don't know, maybe like 4 pounds. I don't even know if I've put on weight. In my head I have, but it's not on my face that I'm seeing it. So I'm like, what the fuck is she seeing? Are other people seeing that I'm fat? I was having like a fucking crisis then. But she caught me when I was lying down and had 4 fucking extra chins. Like,
yeah, no. She was just coming at you for the angles and that's unfair. And actually
that's
uncalled
unfair.
For.
That's unfair.
You cannot do that to a person.
I was like, will you fuck off and leave me alone? And it's like, I'm never going to be as nice as that woman ever again. But I know she has great time for me and I know there's a cultural difference. I know that and I understand that. But.
Hurtful.
Just shut up. Just shut up. You actually don't have to say everything that pops into your little head. You actually don't need to
listen,
share those thoughts.
It's also a generational thing, all right? We can't all be Twiggy. Fuck it. I'm with the little kids. Eat. Fucking eat the grandmother.
I was fucking foaming. I was like, she ever comes near me again, I swear. Not that obviously, I swear to God, I'm not going to do fucking anything, but Jesus Christ.
Just be like, what happened? You got old.
I was saying it to the girls. I was like, I was so tempted to be like, bags are for carrying, not for underneath your eyes. But then that also would have lost me my job and I can't do that either.
See, that's the shit part. You can't even fucking retaliate because you have to remain professional.
Yeah, if I was back in my old job, I probably would have done it. Absolutely.
Oh,
no questions asked.
That would have been the Tesco holdout.
Oh my God. Like, make an eye contact while in. Like, who the fuck are you talking to?
The security cameras would have been up on YouTube that evening.
Yeah, I can't do that now.
No.
But my God, I was like, cheeky. That was that, anyway. And then, like, there's this. Sorry, this is going to be very long and convoluted, like, just the fucking start of the podcast. I don't even know how long
it's a session.
Recording.
And my story's not that long anyway, so it's totally fine.
Okay, right. And then yesterday, there's just this man on the metro, and I do catch him staring, like not even looking at me, staring at me some mornings,
oh,
right?
No.
I'm like, oh my fucking God. And then, like, I've never been like terrified of him, or like, it's not like that. I'm just like, man, don't be looking at me. It's this hour of the morning. I don't want you looking at me. Avert your gaze, please. I was getting off the metro, I was going down the escalators, and he stood in front of me, and I was like, oh fucking God, now I'm behind him. He turned to me and looked at me, right? And he's like, morning. And I was like, well, morning, right? The way I sound. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you must be Moroccan. Me, with my pale,
morning,
translucent fucking skin and blue eyes, I hail from the continent of Africa. Sure. Sure, pal. Look at me. Look at me. And I was like, no. And he was like, but you even have the Moroccan accent. I was like, are you sure? I could not sound any more bog if I tried. I was like,
if someone could just take that fucking snippet of, are you sure? And just send it to him. Please.
I was like, please. Oh, fuck. I was like, yeah, I know. So then I was like, right, leave me alone. And that was fine. Then today, my kiddies had their little fucking annual concert.
Oh,
so proud of them. They did so well. When I get the videos, I'll send them to you. But I sort of every single one of them, 10 out of fucking 10.
Love it.
10 out of 10.
Little performers.
They were, of course they were. They're my kids. Do you know what I mean?
Born for the flair. Of course. Taught by Miss
Oh
Lizzie.
No, honestly, I have mine. Mine are awful fucking drama queens, but not in like an attention-seeking way, but in a like, they're actually gas and can command a room.
All way, future candidates, right? For Drag Race.
Oh, every single one of them. And then, because we got let off early, because the kids had their concert and we wasn't like a normal school and after it, I just went to a nice little beach club. Got my Shein order, which was fucking 10 out of 10. Got a brown dress, and the brown dress, I tell you.
Ooh.
Dress cost me like a tenner, right? Well, didn't it? Dress cost me a fucking tenner. I look absolutely fucking outrageous in this bitch. Like, I look so snatched and so fucking skinny.
I might need a link.
And I don't even, I need to, oh, I will 100% send you that link. And then also tempted to wear into, well, obviously I can't wear it to school because it's kind of scandalous. I can't wear it into school because I would be probably arrested. But I'd love to wear it and then say to one, fat wear. Fat wear.
Circle it. Yeah. Point it out.
Try and find it. No, I will not stand at a side profile because then you might see some, but forward facing profile, you can't see shit.
So exactly.
If I see somebody looking at me, I'm just going to remain at a fucking forward facing profile at all times, and I will turn my body in such a way that they will never see my side fat. That's fine. I can orchestrate that. But yeah, that's
it's not side fat. It's cushion for the pushing, and it's required.
I mean, very fair.
Fuck these old bitches and their opinions.
That's just cutting you over the fucking cheek of this.
No, I wouldn't like, either. I would think about that for the rest of my life, to be quite honest.
I don't mind. And I said to all the girls, like, obviously the ones that didn't see the story, I was like, do you know that one called me fat? And they were like, she did fucking what? I was like, no.
All ready to throw hands at this granny.
Yeah. Anyway.
I feel like I wanted to tell you something before we got into the podcast this week. Did I want to tell? Yes, I did.
Oh, go on. Go on. This sounds juicy.
A resident fucking conspiracy nut.
Which one?
Adam.
Oh. I don't even know why I asked. Like, yeah.
He is back at it again. And now, I have not received the video. So bear in mind, what I'm about to tell you is as it was told to me by Adam. And I'm going to try my goddamn best to put it into more concise words, okay?
Right.
Basically, English is the devil's language.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that if the devil was going to use any language at all to control us, it would be English. Now, reasons for such, I do not know. I could not get any sort of a viable fact as to why English would be the
language. Is it because in his dumb brain, he thinks English is the most spoken language on the planet?
It could be that. Now,
even though that is like not a true fact.
Yeah, no, it's
he
not.
He would think that it was.
I feel like, see, again, the evidence towards this was I saw a video. So.
No.
I feel like it would be a much stupider reason than that, because his whole thing was like, there's things that are, wait, no, okay. Language has power, was his argument, which is, you know, true in a sense, I guess. But it has power, like magic properties in which the devil uses to cast spells upon us all. And
oh, sweet suffering fucking Jesus.
It gets worse. English is then written on paper in order to manifest things into existence. And the same thing goes for not just writing on paper, but for casting a movie or casting a show is the same as casting a spell and having all of these different
words. What are you talking about? So, right, no, genuinely, right, I'm gonna say this now, right? We're gonna just, right.
Ooh, go
right,
for it.
Hold on, hold the fuck on. Right, so, just say, right, going on his logic is what
flawless we're logic.
To, right, a Spanish author, just say, mm-hmm. obviously writes a book in Spanish. Now, just because a Spanish author writes a book in Spanish doesn't mean it can't get translated into fucking English. So, is he thinking, then, if, just say, I don't know, if it was written in another language, even though it could still be translated into fucking English, obviously, because anything can be translated into any fucking language.
Yeah.
Even Klingon at this fucking stage.
Or Dothraki, obviously.
That it cancels itself out. And that, like, oh, well, that doesn't...
Is it no longer magical?
That.
Yeah. I don't know. Exactly. I thought this as well. Like, what if, you know, an original text that predicted something in his sense. So this was his whole thing of manifestation, is that, you know, like The Simpsons predicting fucking Donald Trump, or some movies predicting the Twin Towers coming down and stuff like that, is that it's not that they predicted it, it's that because they made the movie about it, because they made the show about it, tra-la-la, it manifested it into existence. And I'm like, but only in English, yeah?
that's the kicker. It's like, why...
Why is it only in English?
Why?
I would find, like, Latin, Greek,
honestly,
Roman, Egyptian, much more magical, much more ancient languages.
Some
none
fucking
of them...
archaic dead language or some shit. Yeah.
Not one of the... No, one of the earliest languages, or one of the youngest languages that we have, English. And then apparently it wasn't part of the same conspiracy, but it also was at the same time. Shakespeare was not a real person. He was an idea created by the government, and the works of Shakespeare were created as a means of mind control.
What government? What government? The whore was around in 1540. What government? It was, there wasn't
the shadow
one.
Government, Lizzie. They've been around forever. Oh, it was the lizard people.
Oh my Christ.
Yeah, they made him up. No, apparently he never existed in 15 fuck whatever. He was written much later and claimed to have existed back then and have done his works. And it's not that, you know, his works literally developed the entirety of Victorian English. But that was part of his argument.
Way earlier.
But it influenced it. As in, he did invent certain words for his plays, or his way of speaking was particular to his written way. But apparently that was, like, because Shakespearean English is so fucking different, that it's a part of mind control, because no one really knows what he's trying to say. And I'm like, we do know what he was trying to say, Adam. They were dick jokes. They were, like, 90% dick jokes.
I just don't know.
Dick jokes and regicide.
I'm really struggling here. Like, I get the whole manifesting thing, you know, like, I do believe manifesting kind of works in a little way. Like, obviously... You know,
yeah,
I feel like, you know,
it's positive thinking creates positive outcomes. It's definitely that whole thing. There is absolutely behind it.
Yeah, but not, yeah,
not like 9/11
specifically English. Like, like, I get it. Look, white people are the devil. Right, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, understandable.
Right? Oh, no, that's fine. But this, like, I'm just, it's a tiny bit.
But then this is exactly what I was like. What. Also, this implies that Adam now all of a sudden is religious and believes that the devil exists. So,
man, he was joining a fucking cult there not so long ago. What came through? Was he with the Jehovah's? Was it
the Jehovah's?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
but
see,
he was only joining
up.
The Jehovah's in the hopes of getting pussy, which was realistically a pipe dream all along. But
I understand that. But then also, do you remember he did send you a message to be like, no, I find it very insightful and I really enjoy going to group, as in going to church. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do, because I
we
laughed
were very scared
my
for
fucking
Adam
hole
then.
Off. Oh my God, I thought he was going to fucking...
Like, if anyone was ever going to get fucking Jim
mass
Jones...
Mass suicide it.
Yeah, it's Adam. Like, he'd be right there. He'd be the first one drinking the Kool-Aid. He wouldn't even know why. He'd just do it anyway. Oh, fuck me.
I'm like, what... He just watched a video. And he's like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
This right here.
And then every counter argument I made, which are very similar to all of the arguments you have just made against me here now, He was like, yeah, but you need to see the video. I'm like, motherfucker.
I don't need to fucking say the cunt thing. I'm going to go off what you're telling me, and what you're telling me is pure fucking tripe, Aaron.
Yeah.
So therefore, my opinion, I don't need to watch him.
Honestly, I would sooner follow fucking Hollow Earth than this. Like,
the bare bones of what he said.
The Anunnaki are more realistic than this.
Oh, do you remember when he was on about that bollocks? Oh my God.
This most is outrageous. For anyone who's like a new listener, just listening to us ramble, thinking what the fuck are these two on about? If we still get new listeners, I don't know. But if anyone hasn't figured out yet what we're on about or doesn't know the backstory of Adam, all of the 90% of the conspiracy episodes that we've covered on this podcast are inspired by Adam's genuine beliefs. So he is the resident conspiracy nutter. He will fall for anything that the internet tells him. It's fantastic. He's going to fucking hate me if he ever listens to this, but he won't because he doesn't support our podcast.
Good.
So fuck him.
Good. I want him to
honestly,
hear
shame
how fucking
on you.
Silly he sounds.
This is the biggest load of fucking bollocks he has ever come to me with. This is the worst
honestly,
one.
Honestly, this is the worst one.
This is the worst fucking one. And like, he tried to tell me that good morning was like a demonic spell somehow. And I'm like, not that it's just derived from the fact that we took a lot from Germanic languages. So like, guten morgen isn't demonic, but good morning is. Make it make sense. Make it make sense.
He's a fucking genit. I swear to God. Shameful.
Not a brain cell left in that head that's functioning, honestly. It's just conspiracies.
It's a dying light.
Music.
It's sparking. There is nothing left. A strong gust of wind, that bitch is gone.
Yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that one. So I needed to tell you this.
Oh my God, he's a Ludramon, I swear.
Honest to God.
That has me irate.
But okay, now, this is where the fun ends. Because...
Great.
While scandalous, and I mean fucking scandalous... This story is not fun. Now, it is but a single murder.
Okay.
So, hence why it's quite short. We're probably going to get through it quite quickly unless you have some opinions. I'm thinking, though, you're going to have some opinions.
Nice.
So, shall we just get into it?
Yes.
Alrighty. Let's dive in. So, today we are going to be talking about the disappearance of Maddie Clifton. Does this name say anything to you?
No. Spirit guide. The way you said that was like...
I know, I don't know why I said it so fucking wistfully.
I mean, like, I'm getting a reading, like... Is it resonating with anybody in the audience?
they're saying it's your grandfather.
Does anybody here have a dead granny? Like, obviously.
That's my next career, is just Facebook psychic.
Yeah. Fucking Derek Agora
2.0. I wanted to ask because apparently this was like a huge fucking case and I never heard of it either. So we'll just get into it.
Okay.
So Maddie Clifton was born on June 7th, 1990 in Jacksonville, Florida. She was described as being a really happy and friendly child who took piano lessons and loved playing outside. So proper 90s kid.
Yeah.
Her sister, Jessica, who was 3 years older, said that Maddie always took the side of the villain or the underdog in movies because she hated the idea that anything would be left alone or unloved.
Maddie is one of us.
Honestly. She's just Maddie. Rooting for the under... She's rooting for the Quasimodos. She's like...
You fucking go.
Yeah. You go, Maddie. So that just... Generally, she was just like the sweetest kid, apparently. Really outgoing, really friendly, like always playing with the neighbour kids, all of that. Mm. And a really good kid, like she always came home, never got into trouble, any of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So on November 3rd, 1998, so she was 8 years old, Maddie had been seen down the street playing, what you fucking call it, golf. Or some variation of golf, I presume, not proper golf if you're just playing it on the street.
Probably, no, like little fucking, like a crazy golf, like a little putt-putt situation.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, just disclaimer, sorry to cut you off.
You're
golf
fine.
Is a hobby and not a sport, and that is a hill I will die on.
Yeah, I feel for it to be declared a sport, there has to be some increase in heart rate.
Like,
I'm not talking adrenaline.
Yeah, like, I can understand, like, it takes, a lot of skill, a lot of effort. It's not a sport, it's a hobby, it's like arts and crafts.
Yeah, you know? I fully agree. If you play it to relax, then it's not a sport. In the same way, bowling and darts are not sports.
Savannah, me and you, honestly? Oh, thank God I found somebody that shares the fucking same opinion.
Honestly, they're their own thing.
I get strange looks every time I say it.
It's like, yeah. No, fuck that. It's literally the same as fucking, I don't know, playing League of Legends for money. Like, you can play it to relax or you can play it for money, but it is not a fucking sport.
Thank you.
I'm with you. Alas, while they were playing golf, they ran out of golf balls. So Maddie said that she would run home quickly and get more golf balls. Why these neighbour kids had so many golf balls between them is beyond me. But I guess it was the done thing in the 90s.
I suppose, imagine, nothing to do, really.
Yeah, in fairness. But yeah, so she ran off to go home and she never returned. The neighbour kids didn't see her again. She didn't come back to play golf. So her mother, Sheila, had gone to vote and she returned home sometime between 4:30 and 5 p.m. And then she called the police around 6:30 p.m. when Maddie still hadn't returned home and she wasn't found at any of the neighbours' houses. So right. Sheila had kind of gone around, she just assumed, like, oh, she's gone off with one of the neighbour kids. Like, you know, she's somewhere. But she went knocking around to all the neighbours and all the neighbours were like, no, like, we haven't seen Maddie. And the neighbour kids told her she left at, I think, somewhere around 3 p.m., 3:30, to go and get the golf balls, and they hadn't seen her since. So the whole transcript of the phone call between Sheila and the police when she reported Maddie missing first is all there on the internet. You can find it. But the gist of it is, you know, she just said that her daughter was missing. She was talking to her own mother, who said, like, you know, what colour pants she was wearing when she left. She was wearing shorts and a red t-shirt. And the police weren't really, like, they were like, all right, okay, well, she's only missing for, like, 2 hours. You know, it's fine. Just go check the neighbours. And she was like, I have every single one of the neighbours here with me. And then the police were like, okay, we're on our way. Like, immediately, it's like, okay, well, if she's not in the neighbours, then there's something fucking wrong. At the start, there was, like, a couple of the neighbours, close neighbours, who would have known the family. They were all kind of going around calling her name, looking for her, that kind of thing. And by, let's say, 8 o'clock in the evening, it was hundreds of people out looking for her. Swarms of policemen were everywhere. They were searching every house. There was media crews everywhere, like film crews. They were all everything. Everyone was all over it. At first, the police had a suspect in mind from the neighbours, and it was a man who had been convicted of sexual assault and battery on 2 counts.
Ugh.
20 years ago, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he had an alibi for the time that Maddie went missing, so it was nothing to do with him. So he was the most obvious suspect from there on, and after that, they just assumed, like, she's after going off with somebody else, like, nobody else in the neighborhood seemed suspicious. Like, nobody else seemed like it would be them, because all the neighbors were looking for them. They all, like, offered up their homes for searches and everything. Early on into the search, the neighbors directly across the street from the Clifton's house asked what was going on, because, you know, police everywhere and everything. And it was their son Joshua. So it was 3 people in the house, Melissa and her husband Steve and their son Joshua, and their last name was Phillips. And Joshua was 14 and he often played with Jessica and Maddie, since they were, you know, lived right across the road from each other. Obviously easiest friend to make. So they were constantly together. And the 3 Phillips family, we'll say, the 3 of them, they all joined in on the search with everyone else for Maddie. And Joshua took off with Jessica on their bikes to hand out flyers with Maddie's picture on them to help in the search. So everyone was really heavily involved. And as it went along, the Cliftons started making media appearances, pleading for their daughter's safe return. Because at this point, like I said, everyone came to the conclusion that she had been taken by a stranger. She had been lured into somebody's car and they were taken off. So her parents basically spent every free minute that they had either searching for her around the neighborhood or the surrounding areas, or making news appearances, hoping for the best that they would be able to say something that would lead to their daughter being able to come back home.
We found,
This went on for 6 days. So 6 days, they had no fucking idea where Maddie was. She wasn't turning up. There was just no sign of her at all.
Yeah.
And on the 6th day, the fucking Clifton family were doing another press release begging for information. After that, when they just wrapped it up, they got the phone call that Maddie had been found. Maddie had been found directly across the street in the Phillips house.
This could be ringing bells. Keep going. Keep fucking going.
There's, I thought this was another story as well. I'm thinking you might be mixing it up with one in the UK, but we'll see.
No. Mine wasn't a UK one.
No? Oh. Mm-mm. How many of these are there? Jesus Christ. Okay. It's either this one or it's another one, but we'll see. Yeah, so for some background on the Phillipses,
The Phillipses. The screwdriver family.
The screwdriver family.
The screwdriver family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Phillips was either a known alcoholic or a known drug abuser or both. So it depends on what source you're reading. Either way, man was a big fan of substance.
Yeah, I was going to say the substance abuse was, you know, abuser.
Ever present. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was, by all accounts, always kind of on something. Yeah, he was never really sober. He was known to be really controlling, and he was emotionally, psychologically, and verbally abusive to both his wife and Joshua.
Mm.
There's sources that say that he had stepchildren. There was two stepbrothers of Joshua that they had lived with before they moved to fucking Jacksonville. And I don't even know, like, there's not enough information on what actually happened in that situation. Like, did Melissa come along later, or was Melissa the original wife, or where did these stepchildren come from?
Yeah, okay. You know?
But essentially, he had two brothers, and the two brothers had begged Stephen not to take Joshua away from them and not to split up the family.
Mm.
But he did anyway. So he got isolated then from his brothers, and he basically, you know, he was the only one in the house, so he took the most then of his father's bullshit.
Yeah.
When he would get drunk and stuff and just absolutely berate them. And he had really, really weird rules for the house, especially pertaining to Joshua, that,
right,
you know, he had to do like 20 chores a day between the time of him coming home from school and his parents coming home from work.
Because they 20 things to fucking do if you're doing it every day.
Right. But I guess it's the idle hands or the devil's playground kind of thing. It's like they'll find work for him to do. And a lot of it apparently was like, you know, take out the garbage, feed the dog, fucking sweep the floor, whatever. And he did have 3 birds as well. So probably, you know, clean up after the birds, make sure the birds are fed. It was probably a lot of normal stuff, but it was very much a case of like keep him busy so that he can't be up to shite while nobody's in the house. And he also wasn't allowed to have friends over while nobody was in the house. He wasn't allowed to hang out with his friends unsupervised, especially younger girls. Stephen had, a really big problem with little girls. Like, he severely hated little girls for some reason. Yeah, he had a big issue with the fact that Joshua was friends with Jessica and Maddie because both of them were younger than him, 11 and 8.
Yeah.
So that was a big source of drama, which will be important later. So, yeah, Melissa said she never understood why he hated little girls, but she confirmed it. Like, he did hate them. He actually hated little girls. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a thing of, like, he was probably a bit of a nonce and wanted to just keep the noncing away from him.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, he's blaming, like, them.
Yeah.
For him being attracted to them.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
like, we might be wrong, but that's the vibes it's given.
Because why would you just randomly hate little girls?
Yeah, it's weird, like.
Because I thought there has to be a reason for that. And what other reason would there be? Other than, like, either that or he hated Joshua around little girls because he thought Joshua would be doing things. But, like, yeah, that's still a weird assumption to make about a child when there's, like, no evidence towards that.
Unless there was, and we just don't know about. Like, maybe his father's seen him interact with other kids and he's like, okay, I'm not really liking this, so I'm going to terrify him of not even wanting to be around them.
It could
be. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the problem is we'll absolutely never fucking know, never which know. Is really annoying. But I'd love to know why he just specifically hated little girls. But anyways, alas, I digress and we move forward. On the morning of June 10th, Melissa was cleaning Joshua's bedroom while he was at school when she noticed a water stain, like, leaking out in his floor.
A ding 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 a ding.
You do know this?
I do. Yes. Continue.
So you know what's coming then?
Yes. Scandalous.
Yeah. So yeah, since Joshua had a waterbed, she assumed that the waterbed had sprung a leak and that's what the cause of the water was. So she went over to check it out. And weirdly, she found that the bed had been, like, taped together.
Hmm.
And she couldn't figure out why the fuck this young fella would be taping his bed together. So she thought, whatever, probably caused the leak. So she started taking off the tape and she lifted up the mattress and she looked underneath and she could just see a white sock under the bed. Mm-hmm. So she went and she got a flashlight and she went back, looked under the bed. And that's when she reached for the sock again and realized that there was a foot in it.
Yeah.
It's worth noting at this point that the Cliftons basically had the police living with them in the hopes of finding Maddie. Like, there was just police everywhere. They were in their house, outside their house, yeah. Fucking on the streets all the time. That was pretty useful for Melissa when she came running out of the fucking house.
Screaming, fucking roaring.
Yeah. Absolutely fucking hysterical. She couldn't speak to them. She couldn't even tell them what the fuck was going on. She was just in hysterics. And she just signaled to them, like, basically, you need to follow me, as best as she could. And they figured it out. And they did. They followed her up into the house. She led them up to Joshua's bedroom. And she just stood in the door frame, pointing at the bed.
Poor fucking woman.
Honestly, can you imagine finding this, like,
in your
son's room?
Yeah, like, your fucking young adult, like, an adolescent.
14 years of age. 14 fucking years of age. So, yeah, she was pointing to the bed, like, a mess, where the small socked foot was now poking out from underneath the mattress. The main thing I was wondering at this point is how the fuck nobody clocked the smell in the house for six days up until this point. But apparently Joshua had, like, well prepared. He had aerosols bought, Febreze the shit out of the room. He was constantly burning incense and he was burning candles. As I said before, he had those three birds in his room. So birds are kind of smelly creatures if you don't take care of them. They shit all the time. There's, like, food that goes off. You know, there's a lot of rot that's involved with owning birds because they eat fresh fruit. So it does stink if you don't clean out their cages or their stands or whatever. Can confirm, as a single bird owner, it's a fucking pain in the ass, the amount of shit that I have to clean up. And having three of them, I can see how it could cause a lot of smell.
Yeah, in a tiny fucking confined space as well. Like.
Yeah. Especially then when you have the candles and the incense and stuff, you're going to be like, oh, teenage boy's room, like, it smells, but he's trying to cover it up because he's not actually cleaning the source of the smell.
Yeah.
So that's how the smell went unnoticed, because the police had actually searched the fucking house. They had searched the Phillips house no less than three times.
Jesus Christ.
Three times. They never found it. Like, they never, obviously they wouldn't have thought to look under a mattress, I guess.
Yeah.
Because why would you? The other thing that I had questions about was the fact that she was under a mattress. And for me, like, the way I know beds, it made no sense to me that she would be, like, under a mattress without it being noticeable, like, with lumps and bumps and stuff.
I suppose it's a water one, though, it's different.
Yeah, water beds are different. They're built really weirdly. They're built down into the frame so that they're protected. So there's a big gap, and then there's kind of, we'll say, two slats of wood that overlap in the middle. So they create kind of an X that supports it then. In the bed. So there'd be a lot of space underneath it, and that's exactly where she was found. She was found wedged in between one of those X shapes at the end of the bed.
Right.
And then the mattress was laid over her. So, yeah, the police now at this point are just swarming the fucking house. They lift the mattress up off of the bed and they find, like I said, Maddie's body in the bed frame in that exact position, just stuffed into it. And when they took her out, they found that she had been beaten, her throat was slit, and she had been stabbed 9 times in the chest, although some sources go as high as 11 times.
Fucking hell. I'm starting to think now.
Go for it.
Honestly. Remember we were like, oh, maybe the Dara was a little bit noncy, maybe Daddy Dearest did see him acting a bit too fucking weird.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of my theory on it, and I don't want to be given the abusive alcoholic any credit for being an abusive piece of shit, because obviously, you know, you can't be punishing Melissa as well for the crimes of their weird fucking son if that's what the case was. At the same time, the whole rule of no young girls in the house without somebody present.
That's very specific.
Or at all. Yeah, very, very specific. And I feel like, I'll get into it in a little bit, that there are some things that give evidence that might be the case. Mm-hmm. Only if you're fucking trying to piece it together that way, you know? There's nothing that's actually solid evidence on the truth. If you try and piece it together, it makes a lot of sense, is all I'll say.
Right.
When questioned, Joshua gave his version of events as basically an accident.
Yeah, you just accidentally beat someone to death, Joshua.
Yeah, I know, right, okay, situations can fair snowball. I understand that. Things can get out of control from panic and fear and all of that. But the way this apparently snowballed, And I'm not buying it personally.
Like, slitting her throat as well. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Purely accidental, like.
Totally accidental. So, well, yeah, okay, it is like accidentally on purpose, he says, but, you know, still, I'm not buying it. So he said that Maddie called over to his house while his parents were away, and he knew that he shouldn't let her in while his parents weren't home. And he says that he was doing his one of his fucking 20 chores a day, and she came over and he said no, he wasn't letting her in, he didn't want to play, whatever. He sent her away. And then a little while later, she came back asking to play baseball. So he thought, fuck it, I want to play baseball. So he let her in. And the two of them were out the back garden playing baseball together. And the back garden wasn't enormous, so they were relatively close to each other while they were playing. And they were throwing the ball back and forth, whatever, taking turns pitching and catching. And on his turn to throw it, he accidentally clocked her in the face, up above the eye, which gave her like a split. You know, if you hit above your eyebrow, it's going to split your face open, yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And because her face was split open, she obviously started fucking wailing.
Yeah.
And he says that then he started panicking because he thought, Jesus Christ, if my father comes home, finds this little girl here covered in blood, wailing, crying in the house when she's not meant to be, like, I'm going to get murdered. So he brought her inside. He said he put his hands over her mouth and her nose, trying to calm her down, and she wouldn't calm down. So he dragged her upstairs and brought her into her bedroom, or his bedroom. And somewhere in his attempts to calm her down, he thought the answer was a couple of quick swings from his baseball bat.
Yeah, because that's going to get her to stop fucking crying. After well, you try to, like, essentially what sounds like nearly suffocate her because she can't fucking breathe, she's panicking. She's blood running down her face, probably in her fucking eye. Hyperventilating, and then you drag her up the stairs. Sure, she's going to be calm in this situation.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure, Josh.
Yeah, he hits her multiple times with an overhead swing, and that was confirmed by forensics that he absolutely did bludgeon her in the bedroom with the baseball bat, and multiple times. It was at least 3 hits, but it could have been more.
Hmm.
And when he was done, he took her body and put it inside the bed frame in an attempt to hide it. And he went to the bathroom and washed up. And apparently just after that, his parents came home. After they came home, a couple of, I don't know, a bit of time passes, I'm sure. And he goes back into his room and he finds that Maddie is still alive. And she's whimpering inside his bed frame. He lifts off the mattress and he takes a utility knife from his fucking bedstand.
Why the fuck does a 14-year-old have a utility knife?
Because this is America.
True.
In fairness, I also thought that, like, pocket knives were really cool. And I remember them being advertised on the telly when I was young, like Swiss Army knives and really? Stuff. And be like, oh my God, they're so cool. Yeah. Fucking teleshopping, man. I'd be wanting the weirdest shit because of it when I was younger. So I feel like probably the same thing. You know, teleshopping Swiss Army knife. And he's like, that's fucking cool. I want that. And they're like, sure.
And they don't really be having rules.
Yeah. So he took that utility knife and he slit her throat. And then he just kept stabbing her until she stopped crying. He put her back inside the bed frame and that was that. So, but like all of this was just so that his father wouldn't find out that she had been in the house. Make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
So the problem is that it doesn't make sense because there is a lot, and I mean a lot of holes in his story. The first thing that came in as a huge red flag to everyone, especially at the coroner's office, is that in his version of events, Maddie's shorts that she had been reported missing in, they were gone. She was found naked from the waist down. She had no shorts on, no underwear on. She was only wearing socks and a t-shirt. His version of events is that after she got hit with the baseball out in the back garden, he dragged her into the house. And her pants came down in the struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
Right?
I'm fucking sure.
Right. Why? Like, how? So, that's all well and good. Except, first of all, I have not... In all of the sources while I went through... The internet, by the way. If you're looking for my source, it's the internet. There's too many. Everything. Just every single source on Google that I could open. Every source I went to, there is no report of her shorts or her underwear ever turning up again. there's nothing ever said that they found them again. Yes,
what did
that little
cunt do with them then, so do you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I want to know. Where the fuck did the shorts and the underwear go? Because if they were just dragged out the back, okay, he probably stuffed them in a bin or something, they would have found them. Surely.
Surely.
Secondly, if she was dragged inside, she would be covered in, like, micro tears from being dragged along rough ground. She'd be covered in dirt.
Yeah.
There was none of that. She had no dirt on her, no scratches, nothing.
Mm.
There was no forensic evidence that she had been dragged across any floor in any sense.
Hmm. Yeah.
Lastly, there was no blood found in the back garden. There was no blood found in the kitchen, which he would have had to come through. No blood found in the hallway. The only blood that was found was in his bedroom.
His bedroom. Where he definitely fucking lured her up into, like, oh yeah, let's go, do you want to see my room?
Mm-hmm. We will definitely, we will discuss theories of what the real story is, because I think I have one. And I think okay. It probably is fairly accurate. But again, I've no way of knowing for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all of that, like, no blood anywhere. And the last thing as well that didn't add up at all with his story is that he hit her in the face with the baseball. Because her face had no bruising. There was no cut above her eye. Hmm. There was no evidence that that accident that started this fucking chain reaction of ridiculous thoughts. None of that. There's no evidence that ever happened at all.
Really funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Blood on the baseball bat, yeah. Not on the baseball.
That supposedly is the thing that fucking split her open in the first place, yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
And lastly, not a one of the neighbours heard her crying. Not a one of them heard her scream. She was out in the back garden wailing after being pelted in the face by a fucking baseball at full speed. 8 years of age, they would have heard her.
I know he's 14. Right, I know he's 14, but you're hardly that fucking stupid. You're telling somebody that someone has a distinctive mark on their face, like you said, that led to a series of, in this case, unfortunate fucking events.
Yeah.
Right? When they see her, they're going to know that you're telling a lie.
They're literally going, doing an autopsy on her. They are going to look at every injury, every scratch of evidence that they can find, they're going to look at. What makes you think they're not going to notice the distinct lack of fucking baseball ball to the face?
I'm struggling.
Another thing that I said might maybe fall under the category of Steve might have known more than, say, Melissa did about their son.
Yeah.
Is that police found that Joshua had been looking at violent content. And from what I found from most sources is that it wasn't just like, because I thought at the start it was like, okay, this is the 90s. He was pure watching like some horror film. They were trying to blame that. Apparently it was actually severely like violent and aggressive pornography.
Oh.
Yeah. It seems like he had fantasies and he was trying to act on them. It's hard to know, but there was apparently, again, unconfirmed stories from the family, from the Cliftons family, that he had actually been obsessed with their older daughter, Jessica.
Right.
And there was a little bit of fucking, I know, something going on with them. That it's not necessarily known if Jessica reciprocated those feelings, but definitely Joshua seemed to have had a crush on Jessica to the point that he, like, stole a picture of her from their house.
Okay.
Yeah. So the general thought then is that he was watching all of this violent pornography. He had these feelings for Jessica and that got crossed, as the wires do if you're that young watching that kind of content, which you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Obviously, then he started getting like violent sexual tendencies that, in combination with all the shit going on with his father, it just created this whole scenario in his mind. And then when he found himself alone with Maddie instead, unsupervised, completely free to do whatever he wanted, he just carried out those fantasies. So it's probably more likely that it wasn't planned to be Maddie, but it was planned in general. Like, he wanted this to happen at some stage. He was going to do it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she probably did call over to see if he wanted to come out. Do you know?
Yeah, because they were friends, like.
Yeah, so it was definitely a case of, it was just like, okay, well, it kind of just presented itself to him. It's probably like a way that he saw it, like.
Definitely. You know,
like, oh, it was kind of like delivered to me, so I'm just going to take it, like.
That's, yeah, because that's what I think. But yeah, despite all the evidence of like premeditation and stuff like that, everyone was just fucking shocked to find out that it was Joshua who was being responsible for Maddie's disappearance, because by all accounts he was like, he was a quiet kid, but not quiet to the point of like, you know, not school shooter quiet.
Yeah.
He was quiet, but like quiet because he kept to himself. And if he did speak, he guaranteed like he would make adults and kids laugh. Like every time he spoke, he made people laugh.
Mm.
Like generally, he was just jump friendly. He got on with everyone. He was always polite, always looking to help people out. Like he was average with his grades. He wasn't particularly intelligent or stupid. He was just middling it. So he was just the most average of
very
average young fellas.
Very unassuming, like.
Yeah, literally nobody would have thought he could be capable of doing something like this. Like all of his classmates were like, Joshua, like over and over again, because they're like hardly him.
Like, yeah, like couldn't wrap their head around it.
Couldn't. So it just seemed extremely out of character for him. So it's really hard to figure out, like, is he a grim little fucking psychopath, or is this just like a product of his environment mixed with, you know, violent images in his head, and it was a one-time thing and it's all just very fucked up? Like,
I don't know. How are you meant to know? I'd say, like, I feel like there for that level, I feel like there had to be like a pre-existing thing like in him. And then his environment and obviously the shit that he was watching did not help at all.
But yeah. You don't just brutally murder an 8-year-old out of fucking nowhere.
No. And possibly assault, we don't fucking know.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, he could have been doing this to small animals, but the parents weren't watching the kids back then and we don't know. So we have no reference of, like, previous signs that he could be a violent offender. Like, there's nothing to... There's no help here.
Say.
Which is really fucking annoying. But anyways, we are already coming to the end of this. So, like I said, there's not much to it, but it is just scandalous to me.
Yeah.
Joshua claims that he didn't report what he had done because he was in denial about it.
Yeah, you're in denial as you stuff her body down between a slat and a fucking mattress pad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've been spraying fucking Febreze as if the pungent fucking smell of rotten flesh didn't remind you every day
you've done. You literally, not only that, he said that he went into like a fantasy state where he convinced himself that nothing had happened. He's trying to make the argument that he compartmentalized the fact that he was literally sleeping on an 8-year-old girl's corpse for 6 days. He slept in that bed. He slept on top of her body. And
it's like, who do you think you're fooling? Because it's not me. Not me.
You know? No. That's the gist of it. He went to trial, obviously. Yeah, and he was tried as an adult.
Good.
Because
well enough for him.
They figured that the crime was so fucking heinous that they couldn't try him as anything else, even though he was only 14.
Fuck him.
And yeah, I think honestly, rightfully so, because as much as he tried to make the argument of like, okay, he had the abusive father and he was a little fucked up and things just snowballed. I accidentally murdered my neighbour. Fucking bullshit. As much as he tried to make all those arguments, like the jury and the judge were just not having any of it. And they basically looked at what we looked at there and said, okay, first you hit her in the face with the baseball and then that got out of control. Why didn't he take her home? Instead of bringing her upstairs, if that's the truth, instead of bringing her upstairs, why didn't he take her home?
Like, if he was terrified of his father finding out that he had split her open, what the fuck does he think his father would do to him when he found out that he blooded her to death and slit her fucking throat, which he wasn't actually dead? You know?
I feel like getting caught for murder is a bit worse than getting caught for playing with your neighbour kid. Like, just a touch. Yeah, then the fact exactly that he hit her with the baseball bat and then he had another chance to not kill her. But he did anyway. He still slit her throat, stabbed her 9 times in the chest or 11 times in the chest. And thirdly, because there was such fucking... Nobody believed that he didn't do something to her sexually. So there was that aspect of as well. His lawyer decided to be real fucking controversial and hang the entire case on just the closing arguments. He called no witnesses. He offered no defense. Against
how could you?
I mean, insanity. First of all, I mean, he could have tried. He could have called character witnesses to say that this was completely out of character for the child. Could have called people to stand for the abuse. I'm not saying he should have. I'm just saying, like, for effective counsel, you know, Joshua is still entitled to effective counsel, and he did not receive it. So that's kind of a part that it makes things a little bit rocky later on. But you know, there was no defending this. They found a dead body under his bed. They know he did it, but he could have defended him better. But he didn't try. He didn't want to. And I don't really blame the man. No. So yeah, because they called no witnesses, it made it real fucking easy for things to just whoop, whoop, whoop on through with the trial. It went through in 2 days. And because he was still a juvenile, and by the time all the trial was gone through and everything, like by the time it all went to trial, I think it was 2 years later. So I think he was 16. But he was still a juvenile, so he couldn't be sentenced to death. He wasn't allowed to get the death penalty for what he had done.
Right.
So he was sentenced to life instead, without the possibility of parole.
Mm.
Then I should have written down the date, but I'm fucking horrendous and didn't. I think somewhere around 2011 or 2014, there was a change in laws against the sentencing of juvenile cases.
Oh, don't tell me they got re-looked at.
Yeah, where all of them needed to be re-looked at because they considered life to be cruel, basically, for a juvenile sentence. So all cases that were given life sentences before this law came in were open to be re-looked at. So his case was retried and reheard, and he was 33 at the time when it was reheard. And yeah, the judge, who, by the way, the judge's name was Waddle Wallace.
Hold up. Waddle, as in waddle like a duck, Wallace.
As in waddle like a duck, Wallace. W-A-D-D-E-L-L, Waddle.
Waddle.
There is no other way I can pronounce it. I'm not giving it the Waddell treatment. It's Waddle.
Waddle.
That is Waddle Wallace right there. Who needs William when you've got Waddle?
Waddle. That is something else. That is something else.
But our man Waddles is a good man because he said, no, fuck you. They were all trying to fucking, Jesus Christ, the psychologists were like, he's genuinely sorry. He has actual remorse for what he did, right? He didn't mean to do what he did when he was a teenager, and it was because of this circumstance, that circumstance. He apparently, in fairness, does have two scars on either side of his frontal lobes, which do impair his impulse control. But that's not a reason for him to be released into the public. Like, fair enough if you're trying to get him into a facility. If the boy is impaired, then he's impaired, you know? But it doesn't mean he should be allowed out into the general population to kill again. But yeah, he, no matter how much he claimed rehabilitation and apologies, and he did actually give a supposedly very heartfelt apology to the Clifton family, which is on YouTube, which anyone can go and watch. Go and see what he said. I haven't watched it because I don't want to.
No.
I don't intend to. But if you're interested in his apology,
it's only gonna, in a way, I want to watch it because I want to be mad. And I want to see, I remember the story. But I want to know what the little cunt looks like as well.
He looks like the kind of young fella that would do this, to be quite honest.
Am I right in saying he's redhead?
No, I think he was more blonde.
No, I know the story, but then it's another child killer that I'm thinking of that was a ginge. Like, he was a ginge, fucking McDonald ginge.
Yeah, no, he's rather, he's gone kind of mousy brown now, but he was blonde. Okay.
Then I want to find out more what picture I seen of a kid on trial, and he was a fat ginger kid, and he had these god-awful Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
Oh, no, I think I know the one you're on about too, but I think he killed, two little boys, maybe?
Did he? I can't remember. Like, I think he also did it with a baseball bat, but this was in the woods. But I know what story you're telling, but I just couldn't remember if the picture that I had seen was this kid or was the other baseball kid that also malleted another child.
I think, the ginger boy you're thinking of is a different kid. This fella does have little fucking... Actually, he does have Jeffrey Dahmer glasses too, so maybe you're just imagining him as ginger.
No, that picture is burned into me fucking head.
They're a little bit more Harry Potter than Jeffrey Dahmer, so...
No, these ones were full on Jeff.
Okay, fair. Well, no, no matter how much he was declared to be fucking rehabilitated and all of that, the judge said, no, sorry, the crime you did was too fucking heinous, I'm not letting you out of here, and resentenced him to life in prison again.
Good. So,
yeah, that's pretty much the story of our Josh. And he's still in prison, and he'll probably sit there for the rest of his life, but his fucking case is allowed to be reviewed again next year. So we might hear from this little bastard again next year.
Nah, he's not getting out of that. He is not getting out of it.
Yeah, he better not. I swear to God, he better not. Because
he won't be.
I don't believe for a minute any of his story. It's been fucking, what, 1998 this happened? It's 2023 now, and this fucking sick son of a bitch couldn't even tell us what he actually did. He can't tell us the real reason Maddie died. Like, he's still holding on to his made-up fucking story. That's not remorse, man. Admit what you did and admit the full truth about it.
Nah, fuck
it. Let her parents know why you decided their daughter had to die. Fucking own it.
Scandalous.
But he can't even do that, no, because he's going around now helping other, like, wrongfully convicted prisoners and all of this shit.
Why are you let do that? Why is he allowed to do that?
Why? It's fucking... It's literally... It's what's his... It's Bumblebutt Kemper.
Being all best friends
with the police. Like, it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. But my thought of what happened is that half an hour before Maddie showed up, or half an hour before Maddie was supposed to have been killed, he was watching violent porn.
Oh.
So he's watching the violent porn. Maddie comes to the door. He's already kind of got the blood pumping going, you know. So she comes, he lets her in. I'm going to presume the reason her pants and shorts her shorts and underwear were off is because he was trying to get her to do stuff.
Yeah.
She probably threatened to tell his parents or her parents.
She's probably fucking and screaming that's bloody when, murder, like, is he get the fuck away from me? What is that?
Exactly. That's when he hit her then with the baseball bat. And I presume he's obviously not into necrophilia, that he didn't continue to do anything to her body afterwards.
No.
I reckon that's what happened. I think that's exactly how it went down. And then he just killed her to cover himself up as being a bit of a rapist, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's my best guess of how it went down. Because it makes the most sense to me as to why she would have been in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Why she had no pants on. He was just watching violent porn. And then a girl with no pants on is murdered in his bedroom. Like...
Yeah.
He just never got to finish what he actually wanted to do, in my opinion.
I agree.
But yeah, the other thing is as well, he had so much time to save her, because in between her, like, getting beaten with the baseball bat and her being taken back out to be stabbed to death, there was a bracket on that, like, X-join thing under the mattress that I said. She had taken the bracket off of one of them. One of them was missing. And when they got to the coroner's office, they, like, obviously they bag up their hands when they're being transported so that if there's any physical evidence under the nails and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that doesn't get lost. So they unbagged her hands and they found that bracket in her hands. So she had been trying to get out from under the bed even still. So he absolutely had so many opportunities, to stop. Yeah, she did. She got a bad death, a fucking really bad death, a slow and painful one. And he deserves every fucking minute in prison for that alone. I'm sorry, absolutely, I don't let care him rot. How much of a piece of shit your father is.
Yeah, like plenty of people have had really shit dads, have had parents with substance abuse.
Yeah.
They're not out doing this.
This just isn't how you fucking, like, again, all of the abuse was reported as, and again, I'm not saying this isn't fucking abuse because I'm a child of the same level of abuse myself. Okay, I cannot stand here and say that it's not abuse, but it was emotional and verbal. None of it was physical, which brings me to the belief that he could not have reasonably actually thought that his life would be under threat for having Maddie in the house.
Yeah, his dad wasn't going around and beating the fuck out like a threat. Our fathers have always fucking threatened that they're going to murder us. I'm sorry, that's just a thing.
Honestly, to the point that he's saying he killed her, like he chose her life over his, you know? I don't think so, sir. I do not think so. Why are you lying? So yeah, I think if he wants to fucking beg his way out of prison that he's such a changed person, tell us the fucking truth then. Tell us the truth about what you did to her and why, because they deserve that at least.
Upsets me.
6 days. He slept on her body for 6 days.
Sick little bastard. No, even looking at him now, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, doesn't he look like the type, in fairness?
Yeah.
Like, if there was to be a type that would do it. I know not all of them look like they would, but a lot of them do, and he looks like it. Like, he looks like he would be banned.
Oh my god, sorry. I saw a picture of, like, a really small child, and I thought that was of him when he was a kid, and I was like, oh bless, he was a cute kid. It was like, because it didn't even look like it was a girl. Like, it looked like, do you want to, like, you see pictures of, like, of a child, and it's like, it could be a boy, it could be a girl. Do you know, like, you don't know. It was actually a picture of fucking Maddie that I was looking at. I was like, oh bless, like, she was like, you know, or he was like really cute. No, she was adorable. Absolutely adorable.
Yeah, no.
Him as a teenager, no, man, he's giving me mad freak vibes. Mad freak.
Yeah. That's, I was wondering, because I was like, okay, where did you find a child picture of him? Because I didn't come across any. But no, yeah, no, Maddie was adorable. She really was. Like, I see what you're on about, because she has really heavy eyebrows.
Yeah, there was
like, she has really heavy set eyebrows, so it, like, would throw you off. If you were told that was a little boy, you'd believe it as well.
Like, the picture I seen of her, like, she must have her hair tied back or something, and there's, like, a fringe, like, you can't see any longer, so it just looks like a kid with a bowl cut, like.
Yeah, exactly that. No, yeah, I think she might actually have a bowl cut in that picture. And then later pictures there are of her.
Yeah, like, because it was, like, she has, like, very tight to the side, as in, like, it looked like she had short sides. And then a fringe.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Well, obviously her hair is just obviously tied back. But look at him and his shit fucking birds as well. Stay this gun.
Honestly.
Ugly birds.
But he's just like, fuck him. Fuck him from the highest height.
Fuck him down.
I just thought, as short and all as that story was, I thought just, it's a good time to cover it now, because I am very concerned that he might get out next year.
Nah, he won't. And if he does, someone's going to kill him 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't get over the fact that he slept on her corpse.
Yeah, it's very jarring.
That was the part, like, that was just so scandalous about this case for me. And that, like, he's just thought it'd be fine with a bit of masking tape.
Fucking idiot.
While there is, like, person soup leaking into the fucking carpet that his mother found. Oh my god,
forget bodies leak.
Yeah, that's the water damage that she was finding on the carpet.
Yeah,
person goo. Which,
yeah, leaves a very weird sheen as well.
Mm-hmm. It looks like getting that clean back out.
No, because it looks like oil slick. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah, because it's all the fat.
Yeah,
just like,
we should know these things, but we do, and it's awful. Yeah, we only know of it from past experience. Which, not that we murdered anybody, Jesus Christ.
No,
but from, like, you know, unfortunately,
deaths in the family and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You'll find that, people kind of tend to die and go unnoticed for a while in Ireland. And you turn to goo pretty quick.
Very quick, actually. Overnight, yeah, it starts just coming out. If you die early, yeah.
That's it. Like, it's, you're no longer fucking going. Like, you just start decomposing.
Yeah, all the toxins.
Almost immediately. And this was in July as well, so she would have been decomposing.
And Jacksonville, Florida, where Jacksonville, Florida. As fuck.
Mm-hmm. We're talking, it would have been like 40 degrees, one bedroom,
60, probably didn't even open the windows.
Humidity. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess it wasn't really until Melissa lifted the mattress that the smell got out fully, but still.
Oh God, imagine being.
And they did. The police asked him afterwards, like, what was your plan? Like, what were you going to do with her? And he just said, I don't know. I didn't have a plan.
Fucking idiot.
Like, this boy definitely did not think for. Again, I'm subscribing to my own theory.
Yeah.
That he was trying to diddle her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't think any further than diddling her. You know, and everything else. I don't think he intended to kill her. It doesn't sound like he did, because it was a whole mess. I don't know if he enjoyed it. That's a whole different thing. But I don't think it was intended. I think that's not the harm that was meant that day, but it's the harm that happened.
Yeah.
And he had no plan of what to do with the body afterwards. None at all.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's insane to me. Obviously, he's a child. Like, why would he? But
yeah.
Yeah. So that is the grim and disgusting case of Maddie Clifton and what happened to her. And it's a necessarily short episode because it's horrible.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to talk about it any longer than we just did.
No.
So but that's why I decided I'd start this episode with Adam's fucking wild conspiracies, because
it was needed. If we just jumped into this shine.
We needed a wee bit of levity, like.
Yeah. Fucking absolutely.
I just thought I'd follow along in the footsteps of Caoimhe last week with just children in compromising places. So
yeah. Caoimhe as well, who I know his presence has been missed on this episode. Living her best life in Barca.
Yep.
At the moment, meeting sexy musicians. At concerts.
Having a great time.
Her and the guys. And
actually, come to think of it now, that because I spectacularly delayed the podcast last week, Caoimhe will actually be back now for the start of the Heavy Hitter series.
Yes.
Because she'll be back. Yeah, she'll be back by the time this episode releases. So yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, so Caoimhe will be back with us then next week. We have to choose a new Heavy Hitter.
Oh, wow. Fucking so exciting.
It's fine. I'm still going to take the first episode of it.
Okay.
We just need to pick which one I'm taking so that I can write the fucking notes. But if I could manic write notes today in 2 hours, I could fucking...
You got it, girl.
So I'm trying to think, is there anything else going on in the world to talk about as like brain bleach after that.
I don't think so. I'm trying to think, is there anything even nice?
Well, I have one that's kind of nice and you might find it interesting.
Tell me.
They're basically looking into mycelium as a leather replacement, which is pretty fucking cool.
Mycelium. Why does that sound familiar? You may have
to. It's the like neural network, we'll say, between fungus. It's what creates it. It's the thing that's like underground. It's the underground part of fungi.
Okay.
And basically the like, mycelium is fascinating. First of all, I've just bought a book on mycelium because I'm so interested in it.
Is this the shit that we're only three fucking it? Stages of evolution away from the fucking last was actually happening?
No, but I mean, the fact is that what happens in The Last of Us actually definitely could happen because exactly. No, the temperature
apparently
changes.
This is the thing now. Now, because obviously yeah. They made a series and like it's back in, you know, it's gained attention, like again, like obviously the game, yeah. Like, the storyline, yeah. And everything, and the whole science behind it, how it's not actually like it's from like a fungus.
Yeah,
apparently scientists have said it's only like three. It only has to evolve three times and then The Last of Us is happening. I can't do that. Literally. I will die in a first wave infection. The fucking rat king is terrifying.
Oh,
there is no... Imagine.
I know. I'd fucking...
Bloodlines, I actually feel like I'd be kind of fine with it. I don't know why, but I just, in my head, in the game, I was never terrified of them. I just thought they were kind of funny looking. The clickers, I was. The clickers always terrified me. The clickers could go.
No, yeah, clickers
and they're fucking are the worst. Screechy. And they all contort and shit. I think it's because that's it. The bloaters can't contort.
No, and they're not particularly fast. But the clickers are fast as fuck. They're like fast. If a clicker hears you and it's on you, it's on you.
But then they have the stalkers as well. They weren't that bad. They were kind of awful. But the Rat King takes the fucking piece de resistance of shit. It was awful.
Yeah, I know. Gross. Fucking gross. Gross. Yeah, no, that is, it's the terrifying thing about that is actually that it's 100% possible. If of all the like zombie scenarios, The Last of Us
that
is the most
entirely plausible.
It's the most possible. Yeah, it's terrible. But no, mycelium is good. Mycelium is our friend. and the composition of mycelium is basically 1-to-1-ish. 1-to-1 is probably a bit of an exaggeration, but it's good enough. It's close enough to the composition of the collagen in leather,
okay.
Which makes it so like good and durable.
Stretching.
And whatever. So
yep.
Basically they think they can make a sustainable leather substitute out of mycelium, and the amount of land that it would take to farm mushrooms, essentially, compared to farming cows. Is, you know, you can't even compare it. It would save so much money. It would save the earth, all of that. So that's really good. That's mm-hmm. a really cool development. If you don't know about the world of mycelium, fucking look into it. It's wild. Japan built their rail system based on mycelium.
Oh, that's how I know it. Yes.
Exactly that. And I am fascinated. So I can't
always
wait
finds like the best fucking... Yeah.
The most efficient route.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the thing. I was talking about this with David yesterday, that like they're not flora or fauna. They're like somewhere in between. They're almost like a sentient plant. Like mycelium is insane. It's fucking incredible. And all the different types of fungus it'll make based on very minute fucking conditions that it'll decide which is the best one to send out into the world.
Nah, man.
Like,
this
unbelievable.
This scares me. Get me out. Like, I don't.
It's curing fucking Alzheimer's. It repairs neural networks in the brain. Like, it. The dude who discovered fucking DNA,
you've
it's not quite
now.
The same thing, but the dude who discovered DNA was on DMT when he discovered it.
Right, I'm telling you, this was a plant. This is an alien plant. And it's been wreaking... It's just been doing shit. Might wreak havoc? We don't know. As in, just fungi.
It might do.
It might. But I'm telling you, it's an alien plant. This is... Adam, this should be a fucking conspiracy, actually, that you get on. Never mind all the other shite.
This is what I mean. Why do you need conspiracies in this life when real life is more fucking mental than any conspiracy you can come up with? Like, we have mind-controlling fucking fungus... We have people burying children in their bed frames.
I don't actually need anything else that would cause me to want panic and then or think. Don't want it.
Imagine that. Yeah, no, that's, I think that's great. That's a big step forward in environmental practices. And I'm glad to see mycelium getting the appreciation that it deserves. Because like I said, I didn't know shit about it. And I don't even eat mushrooms. I don't like them. But I like mycelium. I'm very fucking interested in learning about them. So that's fair. Fascinating.
I like mushrooms, but the whole fungi thing and this whole fungi thing kind of scary. So
between us, we're swapping one functional roles. Mushroom person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're fine. We've got the shit covered.
Yeah, aside from that, I don't think there is any other really like good news going on in the world.
Probably not, like, to be fair.
There's more, yeah, no, there's just more bad news.
So what we'll do is we'll find that in the cabinet for I'm not looking at this shit.
Yep.
I've had enough now.
We are on a positivity kick. We are not ingesting the fucking doom scrolling. We're not doing it.
No, I'm blacking
it out. We're not getting involved this year.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. No.
Not happening. I'm only going to look for the good news.
Exactly.
I think we'll call it quits here. Short episode for this week because we are coming back with a proper series next week. Full heavy hitter. We're starting back on it. We'll be in with something fucking horrendous, I assume. Because we're good at that.
Have we done the West?
Really bad ones.
We haven't we not?
Oh God.
No, we haven't. We've done the fucking best friend version. Fucking Ian and Maura.
Fucking sad big bastards. Bird. Yeah. No, yeah, we did. We did the Wish version of the Wests. I don't think I'm mentally prepared for the Wests yet.
Though. I don't. Yeah.
We have so much on the list of options to do. We'll find one of them that's less painful to cover than the Wests. I feel like there's been an awful lot of dead children as well lately. So many.
Actually, yeah.
If we could just maybe do just 3 episodes of Dead Adults again, that'd be all right.
And then yeah, I'm fine with that. We'll roll with that. No bother.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the aim. Woo! Yeah. Overage dead people. Not we've such high standards on this podcast.
Well, I mean, when the bar is on the fucking floor, how can we do it?
Exactly. You can't go any higher than that.
Please Christ.
You think, leave them kids alone. You'd think we would have 3 years in and we're still saying it.
A bop.
We're going to cut it off here. We'll be back next week, as I said, with our heavy hitter and our Quiva. I don't know. I'm fairly confident there's probably some sort of a relief fund being sent to Turkey and Syria.
Yeah.
For the devastation that they're after enduring during this fucking earthquake. It's awful.
They got a fucking bad aftershocks, is it? Like, yeah, this 6.2 so I heard. Or something. Not to be talking, you know, whatever about it, but one of my little ones that I had last year, like I think relatives of hers actually like passed away.
Oh fuck.
In it, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people dead, a lot of people still missing, and people need funds to be able to go and find those people that are missing. So support them to fuck. It's everywhere. Even when I'm ordering takeaways and shit online now, I'm donating money to the cause. So it's everywhere. You can do it. Just help out if you can, because that's something that genuinely needs our attention now.
Genuinely as well, no messing. For I don't think any of these kind of people listen to our podcast, but the people have to be swanning off to fucking Turkey to go get their teeth, go get their fucking this, go get their that. You especially, you can afford to give something. You've been to the country as well. Not that you have to be there to go, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, they've benefited you now for your cheap nose jobs, teeth, BBLs, all of that. Fucking give some money back.
Time to get fucking back, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I weirdly enough have a fucking holiday booked in May to go to Turkey, so I intend to save some extra money so I can maybe, you know, I'm one person, I'm not going to be able to fucking help too much, but at least if I can.
No, but you know what, it's not a case of like industry. How much you can help. I think honestly anything will suffice.
It all stacks together, so any way that we can help. They need to rebuild their fucking economy and fast.
Yeah.
Because things are already fucked for the last couple of years for everyone's economy with COVID and all of that. And now all of this, we want them to be able to recover.
Yeah.
And people move on with their lives. So yeah, that's the message for this week. Fucking help the Syrians and the Turkish rebuild their lives. Donate whatever way you can. And yeah, just do whatever you can to help out there in that situation. It's a horrendous fucking situation. And aside from what I just said, I would like to remind everyone to always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles.
Ankle? A singular one? Don't forget. Are we letting the other one lie limp?
I feel. Did I not say the yes or did you not say the yes?
No, I said the yes, girl. I don't think you did.
I felt like I did, but it might have been in my head.
But you're gaslighting yourself into
things. It's gaslighting myself.
And you're trying to do it to me. Was it you?
We will find out post-edit if I said it or not, because I honestly don't know.
It was fucking you. And join our club.